Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Roger Paul, and tonight we're going to continue our study with paper 15, the seven super universes, and we're on section two, the organization of the super universes. And I do want to mention again tonight, for those who didn't come last week, that we're going to reference here in looking at these pictures tonight. We're also going to look, we're not going to look at them on the book, but I do want to say, see these pictures down here I'm scrolling down to tonight? Those are the ones we're going to talk about tonight in this section. But I do want y'all to know that from the, there's two pages definitely I want to mention, and from the study aids from Hera Davis, I want to mention that on page 21, it talks about Jerusalem and the system, okay? So I want y'all to make sure you look over that tonight, okay? And in the Ascender's Handbook, I want to reference the page four, I believe it was. Yes, it was page four in the Ascender's Handbook. That's a great breakdown of the stuff we're going to talk about tonight. So you can compare those pictures to the pictures we're going to go through, okay? To give you a better understanding of things, okay?
And I can pull it up right there.
Yeah, so that'll give you a little bit better understanding of what we're talking about, because this is hard. These things are hard to conceive of in just your mind, I can tell you.
So if you all I ask is if you do that, just show me what picture it is and then I can pull it up.
Okay, well that's the two main ones. So the Ascender's Handbook, let me bring my picture back over so I can see myself here. Okay, here we go.
Yeah, there you go.
There it is. And that's okay. That's on page four, so it's pretty close to the beginning, Bill. Okay.
All right.
And that breaks down. That breaks down the system, the constellation, the local universe, the major sector, the minor sector, and Uversa, and the seven rings of Helena.
I think that's the same one we were looking at last week.
It was. That's what I wanted to mention it again. And also in the other, the study aids, there are multiple pages that really you need to look at. One of them is Audentia. Okay, when we talk about this stuff, you can go back and reference this. And then, of course, the local system, Jerusalem, you can see that. Okay, and those are, one's 20, one's 21. And there's also the local system administration on the next page. That's real important, too. So I just love these books. I really do. I'm just so grateful that Mike and Ed mentioned them to me. Because they are helpful.
Yeah. I was studying some on that chart that you're telling me about this morning too, and I thought that was really great.
Yeah, that's
I got that saved on my computer.
Yeah, that's the one I taught the 11 week class before we did the forward. That's the charts we use for that. And that's got just tons of it. That's a Don Estes charge. It's just got tons of information. Yeah. Okay. So let's get started. Ed, would you like to take the first paragraph there tonight?
Certainly. Number two, organization of the super universes. Only the Universal Father knows the location and actual number of inhabited worlds in space. He calls them all by name and number. I can give only the approximate number of inhabited or inhabitable worlds, planets. For some, local universes have more worlds suitable for intelligent life than others. Nor have all projected local universes been organized. Therefore, the estimates that I offer are solely for the purpose of affording some idea of the immensity of the material creation.
Okay, a couple things I want to point out on this one. First, only the Universal Father actually knows the approximate numbers. Even these guys that teach this, that are very, very high up, they don't even know all the exact numbers, all the planets and stuff. And another thing I want to mention here is they also include here, nor have all projected local universes been organized. You see that? That tells us what we were talking about last time, you know, that our local universe is only about 40% even organized yet. So we have a long way to go before our local universe even has the planets to put life on them, right? It's still being organized. Mm-hmm. So this is a process that takes billions and billions and billions of years. So by the time this local universe gets totally organized, we will probably be well on our way to not only Universa, we may be well on our way through the rings of Avona, right, before our local universe actually gets finished. So in essence, we could actually become finaliters before our specific local universe gets completely done, right? I mean, that's not, you know, out of the question at all. All right, so this is the paragraph I was talking about that talks about that not our universe is not really finished yet. It's not even close, and only God the Father knows the actual number. So all these things we're going to study tonight are what? Approximations, right? They're not exact numbers, and they're not meant to be exact numbers. Okay, so let's see who's next here. Jane, would you take that first little 2-2 and 2-3, they go together there. All right.
I'm sorry, 2-2?
2-2 and 2-3, both paragraphs there. One's just one sentence.
Okay. There are 7 super universes in the grand universe, and they are constituted approximately as follows. 1, the system. The basic unit of the super government consists of about 1,000 inhabited or inhabitable worlds, blazing suns, cold worlds, planets too near the hot suns, and other spheres not suitable for creature habitation are not included in this group. These 1,000 worlds adapted to support life are called a system. But in the younger systems, only a comparatively small number of these worlds may be inhabited. Each inhabited planet is presided over by a planetary prince, and each local system has an architectural sphere as its headquarters and is ruled by a system sovereign.
Okay. So this is how everything is organized. And notice it says here that it starts with the one, the system. And you're going to realize as we go through these, down through all these pictures and everything I have tonight, it's going to break it down. Not the second part, the third one, the second one is the constellation, right? The third one is the local universe. So each one of these numbers is a breakdown of this larger picture, okay? And I wanted to make sure I pointed that out. So let's start out with the system, all right? And this is where this book comes in real handy, because if you look at the lowest one, the system's near the bottom of the page, all right? Now, when they say a system, they're not talking about our local sun with the planets going around it, are they? Not even close, all right? What they're talking about as a system, in this system, it may have, you know, thousands of different suns, right? And each one of those suns is going to have inhabitable or non-inhabitable planets, okay? So this is a pretty good indication. You can see a Dinci up here, all right? See that up in the corner? All right, and that's our constellation, all right? So what it's talking about for our local system is the Satania system, okay? And this system embraces what? 1,000 worlds. Now, we only have how many? 619 inhabited as writing of this book. There may be more now. And the capital of that system is Jerusalem. And this is an illustration of the 619 worlds in the system of Satania, okay? And when this system was started, who was at its head? Lucifer and Satan, right? For 500,000 years, Lucifer and Satan reigned over the system of Satania. All right, and that's what it says down here. Lucifer and his first assistant, Satan, had reigned on Jerusalem for more than 500,000 years when in their hearts they began to array themselves against the universal father and against his then vicegerent son, Michael, right? Okay. After the start of the rebellion, he was replaced by Lanifer Forge and his staff, right? His crew. So the Satania system is now reigned, ruled by Lanifer. And you see this little planet down here? It says Urantia. That's us, number 619. This says your world called Urantia is... 606. And its number is 606, right? In the planetary group or system of Satania. This system has at present, this is back in 1934, 619 inhabited worlds, and more than 200 additional planets are evolving favorably toward becoming inhabited worlds at some future time. So it's going along like it's supposed to under the rule of Laniforge, okay? So that's our local system. That's our 1,000 worlds, okay? And we're going to break this down into pretty long, drawn-out places.
Oh, Roger?
Yes.
I assume that means, being that we're 606 out of 619, that the worlds, like, once we got... like Andon and Fontub.
Yeah.
There were 13 worlds that followed behind us.
Yeah.
Is it in order of when there's an intelligent being? Or?
Yes, that's what they decide is an inhabited planet, Rodney. So when we got Andon and when we got to the point where Andon and Fonta were considered human, okay? When we got to that point, we were registered as 606 of Satania at that point. Now, the planets that came after us, 607, 608, 609, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, those would be considered inhabited planets when they reached a being that was considered human and ready for a thought adjuster. All right. So we know there's what? At least... you know, 13 more planets, am I adding that up right, that have been inhabited after us, right now. There's probably more than that by now, because this is in 1934, and we don't know how close any other planets were at being inhabited, right? They don't tell us that. That's as a need to know, and we don't need to know, right? That's all there is to it.
And that comes about when the humans come into play, when they are finally able to utilize the remaining two adjutant mind spirits, the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of worship.
That's correct. Now, as soon as those come into play, that's when they get their thought adjuster, right?
Yeah.
That's when.
Roger, how long has it been since we had Andon and Fonta?
500,000 years, at least. I think
Wait a minute. That's a million years.
That's a million. You're right, Bill. I'm sorry. A million years. That's actually 900,000 and something. It's almost
About a million anyway. Close enough.
Yeah.
So a million divided by 13 give you an average.
What? You lost me on that one.
Well, what I mean is, if 13 planets have come online,
yes,
in a million years,
right,
then you would divide a million by 13.
Oh,
to get an average.
I get you. I see what you're saying. Yeah, that may be true. You know, but
my calculator won't do
it because we could have gotten six other planets that became inhabitable the same time we did. You know, so they just whoever was first. That's how they numbered it. You follow me? So when Andon and Fonda made that first choice about God, about a deity, right? When they made that first choice, there may have been another planet out there 2 days later that did the same thing, right? We don't know. They don't tell us, right? So it's that's an observation. Okay, so let's go on to the next section, the constellation. Okay, now what we were just talking about up here is a system, right? That's a system of 1,000 inhabitable planets, okay? The next step up is what? The constellation, all right? So let's read this next one. Mike, would you take this next one,
please? Yeah, glad to. Okay, number two, the constellation. 100 systems, that's about 100,000 inhabitable planets, make up a constellation. Each constellation has an architectural headquarters sphere and is presided over by three Verandadec suns, the Most Highs, they're known as the Most High. Each constellation also has a faithful of days in observation, an ambassador of the Paradise Trinity.
Okay, now let me mention something too. They talk about the architecture sphere, didn't they? All right. Now, remember our system headquarters, right? Jerusalem is what? The architecture sphere, yeah. Right? Okay, so that seems to be the way that all these headquarter worlds for both the systems and the constellations all have these architectural spheres, okay? Now, notice here it says 100 of the first things we talked about, 100 of the systems, which is what, about 100,000 inhabited planets, make up a constellation. Now we're going to find out in the next little paragraph down here how many constellations, which is 100, make up what? A local universe, right? Mm-hmm. It builds upon itself. So let's go back up here. This is the constellation right here of Norlaishadec, okay? And the constellation of Norlaishadec, one of the local systems is what? Jerusalem, right? Mm-hmm. So there's 100, did I just say that right? I'm going to misquote yet tonight. I guarantee you it'll happen.
That gets confusing, these numbers.
I know. Okay, so there'll be 100 systems. So there'll be 100 system headquarters, just like Jerusalem, for each constellation, right? And the headquarters of our constellation is what? Aditya. Okay. Now, Adam and Eve. Okay. We have to mention Adam and Eve here. Why? Because Adam and Eve are material sons and daughters. And the reason they call the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve are stationed when they come to the planet, is because of this sphere, right? Aditya. And it's got beautiful gardens and you know, it's one of the most beautiful places we'll ever see. And that's what they try to use as their pattern for the gardens of Eden when they get started on a planet. Now, remember that the gardens of Eden start about 500,000 years before the Adam and Eve's ever come to the planet. So preparing a Garden of Eden like they did on this planet takes a long, 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 long time. So the one that sunk into the ocean, basically, okay, off the course of Mesopotamia, took thousands of years to build, okay? And that's why so many people project, and you can look at, on our website if you go out to there's some articles on Globi Tepe, and there's a project on the maps page. There's some pictures of where the Garden of Eden should have been. Let me go out here and show y'all these so that you know what I'm talking about. If you go to our main page and you hit maps, can y'all see that?
Yeah.
All right.
Wow, yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. I hit the wrong one there, the maps. Okay.
Maps.
All right, here we go. This is a map of where they believe may be the possible site of Garden of Eden. And this is a picture of it, what they believe it must have been before it sank in the ocean. Okay. Cyprus is still there. So this is an outline of the island of Cyprus, because they teach us in the book that the Cyprus was included in basically the whole garden. Okay. That's why it has over there. And what I did is I just went in here and took the outline of where the possible garden was. That's what all this is. Okay. And it shows where it sunk in off the coast of Mesopotamia over here. So this is where the Garden of Eden would have been after the sinking. Okay. So all this land mass sank into the Mediterranean Sea. You see that? That's why I wanted to show you all that. There's several pictures of this in here. This is a possible garden site. And you'll notice as I put my mouse on it, I programmed this so that you can see the outline of the garden, right? But if you take your mouse away, it takes the yellow lines away. You see that? So you can kind of see where the garden would have been before and after.
Yeah.
It took me like a whole week to program this to do that.
Good job. That's nice.
Good job.
Right.
Hey, I wonder if they have ever sent a diving expedition down there to see what it looks like on the bottom of that ocean.
There have been. They also say that in right off the coast where the fathers, somewhere in here where the fathers' temple was, they say there's still blocks from the original buildings and stuff. Mm. Okay.
Roger, okay. I just saw that within the past couple of months, divers found a wall near the coast there.
Yeah, yeah.
An ancient wall.
Yeah, they think that wall, Rodney, is the original wall to protect the garden. Okay, because the wall went all the way across here, right?
The peninsula.
Yeah. And it kept the barbarians out, mm-hmm. basically. Now, think about this. We know that the part of the garden, part of the main part of it where the buildings were, there were three concentric circles of buildings, right? With canals in between the three concentric circles. Now, what does that sound like to y'all? Atlantis, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It sure does. You think about it.
Hmm.
So all these pictures you see of possible what Atlantis would have looked like, that's what the Garden of Eden would have looked like.
Interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
They there's a couple of things that they postulate about Atlantis is maybe this one that you're talking about here.
Yeah.
And then also the Bahamas.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard the thing about that. I've been on the road at Bimini and all that. You know, y'all know I was a scuba diving instructor for years, and I've been underwater out there. I've seen all these things for my own eyes, you know, and I am convinced that the garden site is this. That's why I put this together. And this came from the research of the guy that has the Globotepe site, I'm trying to think of his name. He taught online. Well, he was teaching online when I first started teaching online. And I cannot remember his name to save my life. But he's got a site. We got a link to his sites here, too. But I wanted to show you all that so you can go by on your own time and take a look at that. Okay?
Thank you, Ken.
All right. Now, so we're in the constellation, right? We know that there's 100 of these local universes or local systems in one constellation, right? So Let's go on down here to the next one and read the next paragraph. We're going to find out that there's 100 constellations in the local universe. Okay. So let's see who's up next here. I believe Millie is up next. Can you take the next one, Millie? You are in the way. You know that, sweetie? You're going to have to get in that.
Millie.
Did you say Millie?
Yes, I did.
The local universe, number 3. 100 constellations, about 10 million inhabitable planets, constitute a local universe. Each local universe has a magnificent architectural headquarters world and is ruled by one of the coordinate creator sons of God of the Order of Michael. Each universe is blessed by the presence of a union of days, a representative of the Paradise Trinity.
Okay, y'all remember the union of days? The union of days is the one that assumed authority when Michael did his final bestowal. Remember that?
Yeah.
All right, so that's who they're talking about. He is the representative of the Paradise Trinity. Now, notice here it says—
Roger, is that Emmanuel?
That's Emmanuel. That's Emmanuel. Okay. That's right. That's why the name Emmanuel means God with us. Remember that from the Bible?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Emmanuel, God with us. The reason they call him God with us is he's the representative of the Paradise Trinity. Okay. Now, Emmanuel never offers advice unless he's asked. Okay. He don't just come in and tell Michael how to run his universe. But if Michael, if he needs some advice, he will ask Emmanuel. And it's just as if he got it directly from whom? The Paradise Trinity, right? Okay.
And in paper 120, that's what Christ Michael had the conversation with Emmanuel and Gabriel before they began the
final bestowal.
Incarnation, right.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Okay, so we know that 100 local universes, okay, makes up a minor sector, okay? See how this works? 100 of each one of these things keep building. 100, 100, 100, 100. And as you multiply those 100s, then that multiplies how many inhabitable planets, too. You see that? Nope. So for one local universe, about 100 constellations, that's 10 million inhabited planets. Okay? And that's just Michael's local universe. Now, when we think about the other local universe in the minor sector, each one of those has the same amount of inhabitable planets. Now, we know that they're not all completely done yet, don't we? So... it's just going to be a partial number of them. Okay, so this is the local universe of Nebulon, right? It is the constellation of Norlaishadik. That's where we're from, right? And Salvington is the local universe headquarters, okay? And Salvington, of course, is what? A architectural sphere. And if you look in this book again... I believe it's the Ascender's Handbook on page 4. All right. You will see Salvington, a picture of Salvington, and its 70 major spheres. Let me see if I can get this up so you can see it on the thing. It is this one right here. Okay. My finger's on it. That's 70 major spheres, okay? And surrounding those 70 major spheres, each one of the 70 has 10 groups, and that makes 490 spheres in our local universe capital. Guess who gets to visit every single one of those? We do.
We do.
That's right. Every single one of them. We visit every single one of those before we jump off from Salvington into U minor the third, the minor sector. Okay? Just want to make sure. That's why this book is so handy. You can kind of visualize that a little bit other than just these pictures. These pictures are pretty good, but I really like the picture she came up with in the book. All right? And that's what this picture is about. So we have one universe, 100 constellation, embraces about 10 million worlds. Okay. Then guess what? 100 local universes make up what? A minor sector. So somebody, let's see, who's up to read next? I believe you are, Bill.
Okay. The minor sector, 100 local universes, about 1 billion inhabitable planets, constitutes a minor sector of the super universe government. It has a wonderful headquarters world, where from its rulers, the recents of days, administer the affairs of the minor sector. There are three recents of days, supreme trinity personalities on each minor sector headquarters.
Okay, so these recents of days are a representative of whom? Paradise Trinity again, right? You see how this works? From the very bottom all the way up. Okay, and this is an illustration of the minor sector and the 100 local universes, capitals of the minor sector of INSA. That's the name of our minor sector, U minor the third. Okay. And each one of these has a capital for its local universe. This is what this is supposed to represent. Okay. So each minor sector has 100 universes. These are local universes. And each one of them altogether, that means that's about 1 trillion worlds, right? All right. Let's go on to the next one, the major sector. All right. Rodney, would you take the major sector for this, please?
Yes. 5. The major sector. 100 minor sectors, about 100 billion inhabitable worlds make one major sector. Each major sector is provided with a superb headquarters and is presided over by 3 perfections of days, supreme trinity personalities.
Okay, you see the pattern again? So these perfection of days are represent the trinity on the major sector, right? And our major sector is named what? Splendon. All right? And let's read this little paragraph at the bottom of our major sector, Splendon. Urantia belongs to a system which is well out towards the borderland of the local universe. Your local universe is at present traversing the periphery of Orvontan. We talked about this last time. Beyond you, there are still others, but you are far removed in space from those physical systems which swing around the great circle in comparative proximity to the great source and centers, right? Okay, let's keep going here. This is an interesting picture. We're back up to Ed, I believe, right? Did I hit everybody?
Jane, Miss Jane.
Did I miss Jane?
No, I did read once.
No, I think she did.
Sorry, Jane.
Okay.
I'm looking out for you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I couldn't read the numbers, actually.
I know, I keep messing up the billions and the trillions and all that.
I will have to pause. I'll have to pause if you ask me to read.
I have to count them out, make sure I don't make billions, trillions, and trillions, millions.
You know, it's interesting to me because this has come up before in another group with John Pierre, is the numerical system. Here with these physical planets or this physicality is the use of the decimal system, the number 10, whereas deity is 3, 7, you know, those numbers.
And 12, right? Yeah.
And 12. Yeah.
Yeah, 3, 7, and 12. I thought that was interesting too, you know. I tell you what, though, I really try not to rearrange the universe as I read these numbers, because I've been known to do that before. So,
well, one comment: be thankful we don't have anybody from the UK.
Yeah,
the UK, the system here would be that this is one, and they counted in groups of three, so this would be one quadrillion, as opposed to one. A trillion.
Yeah.
I didn't know that, man.
Yeah. They do it in sets of three.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. All right. Ed, would you take that number six?
Certainly. The super universe, 10 major sectors, about 1 trillion inhabitable planets constitute a super universe. Each super universe is provided with an enormous and glorious headquarters world and is ruled by 3 Ancient of Days. Wow.
That's that. And they are the representative again of the Paradise Trinity. Mm-hmm. Now, this is a picture of Orvontant, the 7th super universe. And notice how it's divided into 10 major sectors, right? Each one of these things fit inside the other. Okay, so this is the 10 major sectors of super universe number 7. It says at the bottom, one super universe, 10 major sector, embraces approximately, all right, what we got?
A trillion.
A trillion worlds.
1,000 billion trillion.
So, Roger?
Yes.
Hi. I thought I heard the comment that somebody thinks the Milky Way is Orvontant.
It is.
So that means that eventually we'll have a trillion inhabited worlds in the Milky Way.
In the Milky Way galaxy. That's right. That's correct.
So a galaxy is a super universe.
That's right. A super universe. Now, it's going to state that later on in this paper, Rodney, that if you look at everything the eye can see is the Milky Way galaxy, and that is Orvontant. Okay. And it states that very specifically. Okay. Mm-hmm. So all this debate, whether it's a minor sector, a major sector, and all this, I think it's a moot point.
That's really. Right. I agree with you.
So you know, because
write the book.
Yeah, you either believe it's right in the book or you don't. The point I wanted to make here about this picture, though, that there are 10 sectors like this in every single one of the 7 super universes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you got to keep that in mind. So this multiplies by 7. All right.
7 trillion.
Yeah. All right. Now let's go on to the next one. Jane, I believe you're up next, if I look correctly.
7, the grand universe. 7 super universes make up the present organized grand universe, consisting of approximately 7 trillion inhabitable worlds, plus the architectural spheres and the 1 billion inhabited spheres of Havona. The super universes are ruled and administered indirectly and reflectively from Paradise by the 7 master spirits. The billion worlds of Havona are directly administered by the Eternal of Days. One such supreme Trinity personality presiding over each of these perfect spheres.
Okay, so now we have a picture of the grand universe, right? And Rodney knows I try to swap out the grand and the master universe all the time. So y'all keep me straight here. The grand universe is everything before you get to the outer space levels. Okay. The master universe includes all that and the outer space levels. Okay. So that's the difference between the grand and the master universe. And that's why I put this picture back in here. All right. Now, I have a breakdown on some charts here. And I put these in when I put all these pictures in the book to help break it down even more. And most of this information came from the Don Estes chart, okay, that I used to teach from back in 2011, 2012, whenever that was, that we did those classes. So here we go. This breaks down everything. One system, all right, this is the local universe of Nebadon ruled by Michael, right? It embraces approximately 1,000 worlds, right, for the system, 100,000 worlds for the constellation, and 10 million worlds for the 100 constellations, okay? So let's keep going. The minor sector, which is 100 universes, right, one of these, has 1 billion worlds, okay? And then a major sector has 100 billion worlds. You see that? Okay. And one super universe, which is 10 major sectors, has 1 trillion worlds. All right. So all 7 super universes comes to what? 7 trillion worlds. Got that? Now, the interesting part about this is this. The architectural spheres in all 7 super universes comes to what? 500
billion
worlds. Okay. Now think about this. Havona has what? 1 billion worlds. Okay. But all the architectural spheres comes to what? 500 billion worlds.
Dang.
That's a lot of architectural spheres, is it not?
Government.
That's a bunch of them. Okay. So here it is right here. Central and Divine Universe of Havana has 1 billion worlds, right? But the architectural spheres is 500 billion worlds. All right. And it says at the bottom here, such estimates are approximations at best, for new systems are constantly evolving while other organizations are temporarily passing out of material existence. What? Some are passing out of existence? That's true. Everything has a cycle. Even the worlds have a cycle. They wear out and they zap out. That's when the sun dies, the planets die, right? So what happens to those beings that are inhabiting those planets? Y'all think about that?
They go to the architectural spheres and the local systems, right?
They can take them there, but did you know that every single planet has plans for emptying the planet instantly? But y'all didn't know that, did you? So they can empty a planet instantaneously, and who would do that?
Angels.
The angels would. The
transport. Seraphic angels.
That's right. The transport seraphim. And some emergency happens, so we get hit by some asteroid. They would literally empty the planet, replan us on a new planet. We'd probably not even know that anything happened, right? That's all there is to it. Okay. So this is right back to the book again. So let's just read through these real quick. Let's let one person takes a list down to the next list. So, Mike, would you take the first list down to 218 or so?
Sure. Excluding the Paradise of Bonus spheres, the Plan of Universe organization provides for the following units. Super universes are 7. Major sectors are 70. Minor sectors are 7,000. Local universes, there is 700,000. Constellations, 70 million. Local systems, 7 billion.
That's right.
Inhabited planets, 7 trillion.
That's right. That's a lot of stuff, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Next. Millie, would you like to take the next list? You want to give it a shot?
I can do that.
All right.
Each of the seven super universes is constituted approximately as follows. One system embraces approximately 1,000 worlds. One constellation with 100 systems has 100,000 worlds. A universe that has 100 constellations has 10 million worlds. One minor sector that has 10 universes has 100 universes, has 1 billion worlds. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah.
And one major sector, which has 100 minor sectors, has 100 million worlds.
That's right. Billion worlds. Right.
One super universe with 10 major sectors has 1 trillion worlds.
Good job, Millie.
All such estimates are approximations as best, for new systems are constantly evolving while other organizations are temporarily passing out of material existence.
Mm. Everything is temporary, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay, this is
we just went through that I have pondered many, many times, is on page 167 in the original book.
Yes.
Because I have the blue book.
And
you can go over it and over it and over, and it still is hard to keep in place in your head.
It is. Mm. It is. All right. Now this answers the big question at hand, the next paragraph. Okay. Bill, would you take the next paragraph, please?
Sure. The super universe of Orvantum.
Okay, I'm going to take it down a little bit, Bill. Okay. All right.
Practically, all of the starry realms visible to the naked eye on Urantia belong to the seventh section of the grand universe, the super universe of Orvantum. The vast Milky Way starry system represents the central nucleus of Orvantum. Being largely beyond the borders of your local universe. The great aggregation of suns, dark islands of space, double stars, globular clusters, star clouds, spiral, and other nebula, together with myriads of individual planets, form a watch-like elongated circular grouping of about 1/7 of the inhabited evolutionary universes.
Now, do they mix words there?
No. That pretty much lays it out.
That answers all the questions, does it not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That Tom Allen thing was he referencing? He was trying to determine what philosophy or which view as to if it's a sector or a minor sector. Remember that one you were going to?
Yeah.
Was that him?
That's Tom Allen.
Y'all know where the origins of that stuff came from?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody? I'm going to tell y'all. It came from the channeling groups.
Oh, okay.
That's why I have such an issue with the channeling groups. And that's why the original foundation had such an issue with the channeling group. They keep rearranging the universe. All right. And I've been known to do that myself with mistakes occasionally. But, you know, if it states this is the way it is, as far as I'm concerned, this is the way it is. I'm not as bad. I'm not as bad as I used to be as a Bible thumper. Okay. I'll admit I believed for years till I was 17 that every word in the Bible was straight from God. Right. I was taught that way. I was brought up that way. Mm-hmm. So when the Urantia book comes along and they rearrange my universe, it's quite a shock, you know, but I guess you could call me a Urantia book thumper now. Because what it boils down to, you either believe what it says or you don't. You know, I don't think there's any in between, you know. And they tell us in the book, these things are not exact. They explain it this way so we can understand it, right? So you can't take it as gospel. You have to take it as what it's meant to be, right?
So, Roger?
Yes.
The question I have is, the second sentence, are they saying the Milky Way starry system is largely beyond the borders of Orvington?
We're out on the very edge of it. That's what they're saying, Rodney. In other words, we're so far out on the edge, it's hard for us to understand that we are part of this conglomeration of stars.
Well, it's saying the Milky Way system is the nucleus. So it's in the very center, but what is beyond the borders of the local, of our local universe?
One direction is the Milky Way. The opposite direction is what? The first outer space level. That's what I've been saying. So we can see most of the seventh super universe, because that's what the Milky Way galaxy is. The seventh super universe. We can't see any of the other super universes. Okay. We can see conglomeration of stars, which we don't know if it's part of the Milky Way galaxy that's far out, like we are, or if it's part of the edges of one of the other super universes. We don't know. And they don't tell us.
One other part of the book says that if you are looking north, you're looking toward paradise, and you're looking toward Orvington and paradise.
Right.
And then if you're looking south, you are looking out toward the first outer space level.
That's right. That's correct. I mean, that's pretty plain, wouldn't you say?
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't understand what the confusion is. Other than the fact that somebody came up with this idea maybe 10, 15 years ago that they thought that there was a lot more than they tell us is out there, okay? So, and they did not believe that the Milky Way galaxy is Orvington, which it states here, okay? So they thought it was a minor sector or a major sector, but that's not what this says, is it? It says we're part of a minor and a major sector, but that's not what this is talking about. See, the problem is where we can see from. We can't get above the seventh super universe and look down. If we could, we would probably recognize the minor sectors and the major sectors. Okay? But we can't get there from where we are. Right? Even if we sent satellites straight up, we would still not be able to see it. That's just all there is to it. We can't get far enough away to be able to see it. And the star students realize that.
Okay. So, Roger?
Yes.
Is that second sentence saying that the Milky Way is larger than our local universe?
Oh, yeah. Much longer, larger. Our local universe is one little section out here in this picture. If you could see us in this picture, we would be way out here on the edge, Rodney, like this little star that's way out here. Okay, but we're out farther than that. Okay.
So
that was the local universe.
So So it represents the nucleus of the super universe.
Right.
And so we're just a small our universe is a small section of the Milky Way.
It is. That's what they're telling us, right? Mm-hmm. If you looked, can you see my arrow there? Rodney?
Yes.
If you would say this is the center of the Milky Way galaxy, okay, or a close approximation of the center, okay? If you say that's the center of the Milky Way galaxy, that would be the location of what? Uversa. Okay?
Correct.
because we know it's in the center of the Milky Way galaxy, and we know it's in the center of the seventh super universe. So if you want to look at Versa, that's where you'd look. Now, if you wanted to look to paradise, where would you look? You look to the Uversa, because paradise would be on the other side of Uversa, directly on the other side, opposite of it. Okay? That is why we could never see the billion worlds of Fabona, no matter how powerful a telescope we ever came up with, right? Because you can't see through all this conglomeration of stars, star clusters, and minor and major sectors, right? You just can't do it. There's too much out there.
Yeah, and I think that the dark space bodies that surround Fabona, you couldn't see it anyway.
Couldn't see it anyway.
Rim range.
That's right.
You wouldn't be able to see it.
Now let's go on to the next paragraph because it clarifies this a little bit. Okay. Let's see who's next. Rodney, I think you're next. Bill, did you just read?
Yeah, I just read.
Okay, Rodney, you're next. All right.
Okay, from the astronomical position of Urantia, as you look through the cross section of nearby systems to the Great Milky Way, you observe that the spheres of Orvieton are traveling in a vast elongated plane, the breadth being far greater than the thickness and the length far greater than the breadth.
Okay, this is what it's talking about. See this big oval? Okay, we only get part of it because they don't have a picture big enough for it, right? So this oval is what they're talking about. This is the Milky Way system, right?
Now, tell you what, Roger.
Yeah.
In Alaska, in the dead of winter, when it's crystal clear out,
yeah,
and which is usually sub-zero,
right,
you can see the Milky Way.
Oh, my.
It's a band across the heavens.
God.
It is so beautiful. You can see the middle, the brightest section.
Wow. Oh, yeah, I'm sure you can see the whole thing, what looks like the whole thing, right?
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And you gotta have to drive to Alaska.
Yeah, and you have to remember, we're way out here outside the picture. We're out on the very edge of this, right? So when you're looking at it, there's no way we can see all of it. We can see...
there's no way.
Yeah, this is just not possible. Not from our location in space. And I hate to say this, but we're out of time. We're going to go through this a little bit more next time. Y'all don't let me get off of this without going through this picture with y'all, okay? Because I think you're going to enjoy what we're going to talk about here on this.
You know, doesn't just reading this thing just expand the awe that we would have for the universal Father and his creation?
Oh,
it's here.
It really does. Almost beyond belief, doesn't it? It's so big. It's bigger than the human mind can even conceive.
We're just tiny little gnats.
We are. We're,
germs.
Would you call them, Rodney, no-see-ums?
No-see-ums.
Yeah. Panama City Beach. No, I'll tell you where the no-see-ums are really bad, along the Gulf Coast, way on down, what is that city where all the people retire to? I can't think of it off the top of my head. They're bad down there. Okay. I used to go to seminars down there when I was have to get my license renewed and stuff. Listen, y'all, I enjoyed it. Let's say a little prayer and we'll close for tonight. Father, thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for the expansion of this universe and how big it is, and open our hearts and minds that we might understand some of this and comprehend it, that we might share it with others. We thank you for the opportunity to do this. We thank you for the opportunity to share it with our brothers and sisters. And we pray that you'll bless this group and bless everyone that listens to them. Thank you for those at home that listen to our videos and hope that they get something out of it also. We say this in the name of your son, Michael, our local universe, Mother Spirit, Jesus of Nazareth. Amen.
Hey, Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you care for each one of us individually.
There we go.
As much as you care for the whole of the entire creation. We just thank you for that, Heavenly Father. We just give you all praise, glory, and honor. Amen.
Amen.